Welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the word of God, you are encouraged and challenged and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Get there. I want to welcome you if it's your first time with us here at Liberty Church. Thank you for celebrating our birthday. Some of our eldership team are at home with the Lurgy. Bless you guys online. And all those that are unable to be with us this morning. But thank you for being here. I think we've got food afterwards. And that's important. That's really important. Won't you turn to the person across from you and say, you smell nice. I'm really pleased to hear this morning. And I love being sitting by you. Some of you husband and wives, that's the first good word you've said to one another this morning. So let me encourage you with that. And if you have your Bibles, won't you turn with me? Acts chapter 14, verse 27 to 28. Before I jump into that scripture, which is going to lead us, you know what I really feel that the Lord has said and put on this house is that, you know, Liberty will bring an invitation to restoration, renewal, and a rebuild. You cannot offer anybody else more than an invitation. They choose. That's all you can do. You can offer them an invitation. And when people receive the invitation, they then have a choice to turn up. And you know, each of us have a choice to turn up, not on a day like today or on a specific event. We have a choice to turn up every day. And sometimes when we turn up, we need other people to help us turn up. Sometimes we can't turn up on our own. Have you ever had days when you just don't want to turn up? I'd rather not be here. But somebody rings you or somebody calls you or somebody grabs hold of you and says, come on, let's turn up together. Let's turn up together. And I thank God for everybody who turned up all those years ago and said yes to this journey. You know, this morning I was looking back through pictures. Sometimes they're helpful and sometimes they bring tears to your eyes and you see sometimes the people that have journeyed and you see sometimes those that you wish were still journeying. And you remember moments. You know, as I stomped my foot this morning there, I like stomping my foot. Adam looks at me funny and he goes, does this mean go faster on the drums or something like that? I have these weird signals and stuff. I don't think they know what I'm doing, but it's just crack on. You know, I remember back in our house in Mandy Way, I remember a significant stomp. I remember I stood there praying for what we had no idea. I didn't realize the hockey stick learning we would go on. If you don't understand that, what that means is we got to learn quick. I didn't realize that I was not equipped, didn't have a clue, didn't know my Bible very well. But by the grace of God, we're still here. I remember, I think he's got the best looking hair in the house right now, Michael Fitchie. It bobs. It's beautiful. I remember him standing to my left on the room and his foot came down. I was like, don't break the laminate, man. His foot came down and it stomped. And it was like this shudder went through our little living room. And he just declared for such a time as this. And I want to say to you, the church is still here for such a time as this. Acts chapter 14, verse 27 to 28. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, I'll bring context in a moment. They declared all that God had done with them. Testimony is important. And I had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. The title of my message this morning is An Open Door. God is inviting you to an open door, primarily of intimacy before anything else. Had an open door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. I just felt as I stood up this morning, discipleship is not sporadic, it's purposeful. You can't grow your way accidentally, you grow on purpose. And you know what? The enemy even declines you on purpose. He even robs you on purpose. He's not stupid. He's got a plan, God's got a plan. But I want to remind you this morning that discipleship is not sporadic. It's lengthy. And it's purposeful. None of us can ever say we are not ready to learn anymore. None of us can ever say we're unchallengeable. None of us can ever say that we know everything, because we don't. If you want to remember anything from this whole thing this morning, stay teachable. Stay teachable. Stay teachable. I was challenged this morning. I made a decision. I did something. I was challenged. I've got a lead, but I was challenged. I'm stay teachable. Here's the context. Paul and Barnabas submitted to their church in Antioch. You'll have to read the chapters before. It's exciting. Faithfully engaging in the life of people, everyday life, doing real life together. Here these two dudes are in the presence of absolute quality. They're not part of some Mickey Mouse operation. They're not part of like, oh, I think we're gonna maybe make it through. They are amongst quality people. Sitting around you right now are quality people. The Bible says, don't look at people through the flesh, but look at them through the eyes of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is on you and it's in you, there is nothing that is exempt that can be done through you and with you. Oh, but I can't. No, can't is not the word. We have to look at one another and realize the quality of the people that we are standing with. If Jesus thinks they're worth having breath in their lungs, then they are worth having breath in their lungs. That means there's quality on their life. It is so important for us never to lose that. And here they are, Paul and Barnabas, amongst quality. If you read in Acts 13, it says, now they were in the church at Antioch, verse 1. Prophets and teachers, plural. Not one, not just another. There was quality in the house. Barnabas, Simeon was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, a lifelong friend of Herod, and Saul, which was Paul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, watch this now. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work of which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them. This is the church, and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, you can read the rest. In the midst of life, the Holy Spirit will speak. Take note who's speaking. Today, on average, statistics will tell you, you will hear no less than 200 different voices. That could be through an app you open. It could be through a news feed that you hear. It could be through a person that you're surrounded by. It could be through the newspaper that you read. It could be through the menu you're going to go afterwards and say, I want some food. It's voices and voices and voices and voices. And guess what? The voices are not stopping. But my invitation to you is to narrow this thing down and focus on the voices that need to be focused on. What does it look like to quit the noise? And the Holy Spirit comes in the midst of everyday life of these two quality guys doing life amongst absolute legends. You are amongst legends. And in the midst of that, he says, this is what we're going to do. Led by the Holy Spirit. And guess what these two guys walked into? And if you want to, you can read it. They landed and put their feet on the ground of so many spaces. Cyprus, Salamis, Paphos, Perga, Iconium, Lystra. There was at least 9, 10, 11 different destinations that they got to put their feet on the ground. Because in the midst of life, not just them, or the Lord has said, but the church knew. We are so trust deficit today that half the time we're running around telling people, the Lord has said, but we won't even communicate those that we call our shepherds and those we call our close. And so in the end, we end up walking on journeys and unlocking spaces that probably should have never been unlocked. Crossing seas, landings, lands, encountering things, demons, stoning, being received, rejected, facing trials, kickback. They were run out of town. They had breakthrough. They traveled with others. They traveled amongst others. They expounded the scripture. New people groups were invited. and they brought many to the discipleship journey. I'm summarizing this thing. You see, when you say yes to what the Spirit of God is saying, please realize this, you do say yes to the challenge that's coming. And part of the journey of life is to decipher and distinguish, is this challenge to be faced, met, and walked through, or are we facing it because actually of some decisions we made and we shouldn't have to face it at all? And that only comes in counsel. It only comes in counsel. You see, because we see in part, we prophesy in part, that's why we're part of a house, that's why we're part of a family, that's why God puts legends around us and quality people, so we can walk a journey going, is this a trial I've got to go through, or do I bail on this thing because I caused my own issue here? Sometimes we're walking through trials that are not even ours to face, and sometimes we've got to push through some things. And part of the problem in the church today in the Western world, we bail when we're meant to push through, and we keep on slogging our guts out when actually, hey, we're done with this. It's not our battle to fight. And it's usually when the minors become majors, when we're fretting over little stuff instead of remembering who we are. Go on your phone and look at where you want to go later, Gloucester or wherever it is. Pull your three fingers together like this. Google out and see the United Kingdom. See bigger than you've ever seen before. And then these guys on their journey, they returned back to the church which sent them. Oh my goodness me. Can you imagine a relational space where there's agreement to let's do this, where it's so sweet and so good that we return back and celebrate together? That's what family should look like. That's what the church should be like. An open door of faith, they came back and said. Paul and Barnabas, they share their story. But watch when they share their story. The defining statement is not all the rubbish. They share that. But the defining statement is when they declare an open door of faith was available to a new people group. Do you know our lives are positioned ready to open doors of faith to people that have never experienced it before? You say, well, I'm not going off to some Amazon land where they've never heard the gospel before. No. Just exactly where you're at. Your life is positioned so as you walk through a door, you open a gateway for others to stream through that have never experienced and heard the gospel that you've ever experienced before. They, as two guys amongst the team, were consistently able to Google out of what was going on into a bigger picture and remind themselves of what the Holy Spirit said, what the church had prayed for, and what they were walking in, even in the midst when they were getting stoned. Wow. Oh God, remind us of your prophetic words that don't accidentally happen, but they come and we push through with them. Open doors of significance are available to you and me. Ones which unlock life, freedom, and wide open spaces. Do you know that you're positioned to unlock life and freedom and wide open spaces to people that are going to a lost eternity? You're even positioned, if you're committed to being discipled and you want to disciple others, you can unlock life, freedom, and wide open spaces to your fellow believers. Because that's how we journey this thing. But here's the other side. So are doors of distraction, fear, hatred, sexual sin, occult, all available to walk through as well. And we choose what we're going to do. Here's the beauty. If we walk through a wrong door, there's always restoration from it. There's always the opportunity and the ability to walk out and shut that door. I don't want to walk through there again. I'm done with that thing. It may take a bit of a journey, but there's that opportunity. The doors I walk through, create potential access for others, for my children, my family, my wife, my friends, my spouse, people on Facebook, and the generations to come. We're so focused on what happens now. What do I get now? When we stand in eternity one day, God will say, do you remember that moment? It unlocked this. I don't think Paul or Barnabas knew the size and the magnitude of what they had walked in. Peter had gone there as well. But they didn't understand that. But I wonder right now if they stand in heaven and they stand in there as those cloud of witnesses going, oh my goodness me. Look what this thing has unlocked. Thank goodness we listened. Thank goodness we grouped together. Thank goodness we trusted the family. Thank goodness we trusted the Holy Spirit. And so often when we step back, I realize more and more that my life and the patterns of my life are passed down without me even realizing it. My son, he's sitting here, he does things that I think, why are you doing that? Like, you do it, Dad. If you want to reveal how you really are, have kids or hang out with a kid long enough, they'll soon mimic you. They say what you say, they do what you do, you know. I get up early and Noah comes down 5 minutes later. I'm like, why are you up? Because you're up. We get up early. Oh, that's what we do. And those are the light things, but there's other behaviors we see, don't we? We deposit in others. Fears and hopes and dreams and all these different things. Our hearts and our attitudes. It's important to talk to the next generation. Because we're not perfect, but explain to them what we're going through. Our language, our fears, our apathy, our behavior, our hopes. Hold your finger in that scripture, Matthew 18, verse 18. Just turn with me there. It says this. Now, I want to bring this into the context of open doors. I think we're standing as the church in our generation and on our watch in this region, I think we're standing at a significant moment. You know, I saw a picture the other day, and there's a group of people praying for Wales, and they had all these words over the Wales, and do you know what the word was over this region? It was the word unity. Do you know I'm tired of hearing that? See, we have unity. We don't pray for it. We're called to protect what we have. But sometimes we don't protect what we have because we're not prepared to do the relational thing of dealing with what is actually going on. So what we do is we step back and we let's not make a noise about it or let's not deal with it. And so then we wonder why we end up years later in a space where we're not holding on to and protecting what we're actually called to protect to. And why the enemy's running around doing whatever he wants to do and causing chaos. Because actually we don't hold on and we don't do the things that we're called to do in the procedure that God has called us to do. Look at this verse, Matthew 18, 18. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now you can grab hold of that verse and say, right, let's start binding some things. In the name of Jesus, I bind you this and I bind you that and I loose you this and I loose you that. And I've seen it. And it is good. Come with passion and declaration and give it horns. But don't miss the context of the whole scripture. Verse 15, if your brother sins against you, whoa, hang on a second. Go and tell him it's his fault. Forget about that. We don't want to deal with that. What we want to do is we want to bind and we want to loose. Between you and him alone, I'm reading from verse 15. If he listens to you, you've gained a brother. But if he doesn't listen to you, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to even to the church, let him be as to you as Gentiles as a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among you. That doesn't mean we need two or three for Jesus to be there. In the context of this scripture, in the pattern of how we walk through open doors, if we've got an issue with somebody, we go and deal with it. And we go and we say, hey, I might be wrong, I might be right, but I'm feeling something and we're not connecting on this thing. Help me to understand, can we go on a journey? And they go, you can do one. Okay, no problem. I'm going to bring somebody along with me because this is important, because it's not about my feelings, it's about the kingdom. And so the kingdom's getting wrecked out because we're not walking through the doors that are clearly open to us in order to face the toughest journey we have, which is the relational one. And so then we just know, and I don't even think it's a British culture thing. I just think, oh no, let's not. If you love me that much, you can only love me that much because you love him that much. And if you love him that much, then we hold on to what he calls precious, and we actually are ministers of reconciliation. And so we then step into these places to not allow the enemy to take space and place. You see, when Paul and Barnabas came, they're there amongst legends. It's happening for them. Paul's had this amazing encounter. He could say, guys, you don't know anything. I was met on the road. I've written a book. I lead the prayer meetings. I preach. This is what I do. He didn't. They were just amongst the other boys and girls there, living life, doing church, and then the Holy Spirit came. Have you noticed who the Holy Spirit spoke to first? Paul and Barnabas said, hey, get out of our way. Check it out. We called, man. Here we go. He didn't do that. They came together. And they went through the process together. And the outcome was a wide open door of blessing, of discipleship, of a people group that hadn't been reached yet. Suddenly the gates are open. Suddenly the gospel's flowing back and forth. Suddenly they're in Jerusalem and talking to the other apostles, and the elders are with them. And they're saying, we can't have these people. They're uncircumcised. James stand up and say, whoa, let's just deal with this. God is with them. Let's bring the gospel to them. And so all this other stuff is shattered because why? So the gospel can come through and the kingdom can come and his will can be done and people's lives can be set free and people's lives can be saved and we can see him advance and we can see this world changed. And there's a process and a procedure and it's around a relationship thing. And we run from the relationship. Oh, I'm out of here. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. Paul and Barnabas gathered in the Jesus name to pray and fast together with their fellow believers, prompted by the Holy Spirit. And here Jesus in Matthew says, let me explain to you how you gather and open the right door so that we don't sit in muck and we deal with stuff. Conversation. You know, one of the greatest skills I ever learned this last 2 years was how to have a conversation with my wife. Surely you can do that. No, if you know me and Leah and you've seen us long enough, my belief or my self-assurance hits her belief, and if they're different opinions, it's like, whoa. I want to fix everything because that's what I do. After about 30 seconds, I've already got a plan of how we're going to fix everything. Or how I will take it on to take the pain away from her. So that's the way I'll fix it. And then I don't know how to converse in that thing. Because do you know what? I've never actually learned a skill on how to do it. Sometimes it's not all spiritual. Sometimes it's actually sitting down with somebody and saying, okay, in order to face this relational issue and to open the right doors here, because covenant is important, and if this messes up, this whole thing is messing up, and if this messes up, our kids are going to, and so on and so forth. We need some skills. And so somebody sits in front of us and goes, this is how you have a conversation with each other. I was like, part of my manhood rose up in the beginning. I don't need to know how to do this. I know how to have a conversation. She just needs to listen. That lasted like 2 seconds. Not because Leah said anything, because that's just behaving like a plonker. because we listen to understand, not to bring our opinion. Whether I agree with where my wife is at right now or not, and I know I'm not doing well here all the time, I'm still learning. In order to open a door of flourishing, that our marriage doesn't become, oh, do you know what, that year was hard, and that year was hard, and that year was hard. Actually, do you know what, life would be better just without people. Let's just go somewhere else. Because guess what, we have those days. In order for that not to take place, I've got to get some skills and I've got to learn how to have a conversation. And so God lays out in the scripture here, this is not spiritual, this is how we do things. In order to get into a wide open door so that we can bring the gospel into places so that we can see his kingdom come and his will be done. In 1 Corinthians 16, 8 to 9, it says this, but I will stay in Ephesus, and again, there's context around it, until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, this is Paul speaking, and there are many adversaries. What happens is when the door opens and it's possible, guess who is there as well at the same time? It's the enemy going, because if you walk through that door, there is a possibility there's a whole lot of other people that are going to walk in freedom. And I don't need that and I don't want that. But the issue is, sometimes we don't know who our adversaries are. And so what we do, they call it in war, when you shoot your own team or shoot your own army, they call it friendly fire. We're shooting sometimes each other because we're shooting the wrong enemy because we don't know who the adversaries are. Because we run around on our own going, I know what the problem is. I'll sort it out. Let me get out my big submachine gun and I'll blow that thing out of the water. And guess what? Most of the time it doesn't work. We come back to the same thing and the same thing and the same thing. Because in the state that we sometimes get it, we can't recognize what the adversary is. We need somebody else. Back to Paul and Barnabas being released in family, being in family, to come alongside and say, hey, let me journey this through with you. You see, because we're narrow, we're blinded, we got blinkers on, we can't see, our vision is only so far. And so then we end up our own church, we're shooting each other, bam, 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 I'm going to deal with this. And so we end up with a church like it is across regions and nations. This is a strong word today, I know. But if we can get to think about something, because there's a wide open door. And so often as human beings, we'd rather live in the pain and stay that we're in instead of pushing through and dealing something, which will become more painful before it comes better, because we just get used to it. Well, it's always been like this. It's always been miserable. Oh my goodness. And so the problem is sometimes as we become as adults, us, we're telling our children, you need to learn, you need to listen to me. You need to go to school and listen to that teacher. And then somebody else comes along to us and say, hey, I think you should listen. Where do you think you are? I know what I'm doing. I have a house and a car. I've made it. I even get to go to my job. I've definitely made it. That's not made it. Stay teachable. How do we walk through open doors? I might have to finish this another week. How do we walk through the right doors, not just open doors? That's a better. Four things. Consistent in relationship. Consistent in relationship. Jesus, I choose you today. You've chosen me. I choose you. I choose those friendships that have walked long with me. I choose to plug in. I choose those that I've said, yes, help me, lead me. I choose. Consistent in relationship. Submitted in our calling. It's not my calling, it's his calling on me. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I have called them to. It's not my ministry, your ministry, somebody's ministry. It's His. And the Bible says there's no other foundation we can build upon. Consistent in relationship, submitted in calling, humble in our ability. Not humble, oh, I'm not good enough. That's false humility. Oh, I'm everything. Overstating. That's why you need others, again, to walk the journey, to say, hey, you're thinking too lowly of yourself. Come on. You can do it. I believe in you. If you're discipling somebody, if they can do it 50 to 60% as good as you can, let them do it. And that's one of my biggest downfalls. Because for a lot of my life, all I've thought and said is, oh, I must do it. And if it's going to be done right, I better do it myself. Do you know where that lands you? On your own. And limited in what we see. And the doors that are open are narrow. So nobody else really walks through them. And number four, stay teachable in life. You know how you want to tell a teachable person? They ask questions. Not provocative ones. Not trying to catch you out ones. But they ask questions, they inquire, and they invite other people to the process. Four things. The right doors don't have to be found, they'll be revealed. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me. The Holy Spirit spoke to the church, the team, to Paul and Barnabas. They spent time together, praying and fasting together, agreeing. It was a laying on of hands. But so often I know in my life, I want to skip the process. And in skipping a process, we may just open a door that we shouldn't open. We may just walk through something that we're not called to walk through. Here's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. If you read about Paul a little bit more, there's a journey that he wanted to go on. And he gets the team and he packs them up. And I can imagine the plan's gone. And as they're going, they're almost there. The Holy Spirit says, no, not there. Paul doesn't go, what? No, hang on. We've planned for this. We prepared for this. This is what we have to do. We are doing it regardless. No, he says, okay. We take a left. And we go over here. You see, sometimes God doesn't reveal the end thing. He just wants you to walk the steps. Oh, Lord, what are you? We got to pray. We got to see. What are we going for? You don't know what we're going for. We just turn up to the process. Well, what happens if I bring this issue to this person? What happens if they don't like me? What happens if they rat me out? What happens if they don't want to talk to me? What if they put up for Facebook? You don't know what's going to happen. You just got to go the process and trust the story of God and trust the process. I didn't know what was going to happen 7 years ago. I didn't know what happened 10 years ago. I didn't know in the middle I'd feel so derailed and think, what have we done? Oh, Lord, Mike's died. How are we going to deal with this? I didn't know. But I do know this more and more and more. If we trust the process and we walk the journey, God is faithful. God is faithful. He's faithful. Our future doors will open because of our present choices right now. What choices are you making now that will open doors later? Or we can quit, we can take on the ostrich pose. There's a problem coming, head in sand. I remember we were in South Africa in 2000, and I think it was 18. We were there in this game park and seen these lions and we're walking down and there's all this animals and stuff like that. And I saw this ostrich and it swallowed this can of Coke, not the best thing to do. And you see it going down its neck like this. And then it saw me. And I thought, oh, it'll run, you know, because that's what they do. It just stuck its head in the sand. Like, problem will go away. And you know what happens with believers in Christ? Stick head in sand. Problem going away. I'm not sure if it's gone away. I could have dealt with it because I could have put some actions in place. Let me ring church leader, panic. Can we pray? And we can pray, but we should have just used wisdom and planned because we wouldn't be here. Okay, don't worry about it. Let's stick head back in sand. I've done it. Let's avoid the issue because maybe it'll go away. It doesn't go away. And you know what? There's enough good people around us to say, I'll walk it through with you. You ask anybody if there's a problem in my home, I won't ask them to stand up, who I'll ring to come and help me. I probably could fix some of them. But why do that when we can all do it together? It's so much more fun. And my wife trusts them better than me with DIY. I'll land with this. I want to remind you that there are open doors available to each one of you. Where's the gospel adventure going to take you? What's it going to do? Hey, whose life are you going to change and shift and touch? Who's going to touch your life? This time next year, what's it going to be like? I don't know. I can't say it's going to be perfect. I can't do that. But I do know Jesus is faithful. And you know what? I do know I'm standing in a room full of legends. I do know that. But we're the ecclesia. That's what the Bible calls us. That's who we are. A gathering of those called out. Called out from one way of life into the pattern of Him. We're not offended out, we're not bored out, we're not unhappy out, we're not product out, we're not missing out, we're not real issue out, and we're not blame out. We're called out. Faithful people, people of faith. Last scripture, James chapter 2, verse 19 to 20. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Jeez, that's a bit brutal, that scripture. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? When we say faith, we're not just talking about, well, I believe. Yeah, even the demons believe. And they're petrified. When you turn up in Jesus' name, they're quaking in their boots. You see, faith shows up in lifestyle. It's revealed in a process. And there are dangers to our faith. Assumption, familiarity, and convenience. You could probably add to those. Assumption, familiarity, and convenience. I assume it's going to work out this way. Those are just those people familiar with them. They'll never change. Convenience. Oh my goodness, this is not fitting in with my lifestyle. Killers of faith. See, good deeds, when the Bible says there, are not external first. If you go dig down into that word, it actually talks about it's internal first. It's an inner desire. How do you cultivate inner desire which is contrary to your current reality? Lord, here's the problem. Here's the deal. And I feel like I don't want to engage you. I don't want to open a door. I don't care about anybody else seeing freedom. I don't care. How do you begin to cultivate? You see, a desire is not enough. Even attendances are not enough. But a conscious decision to saying, Jesus, I see your scriptures. And I'm going to stand amongst my family and people. And I'm going to wait for what the Holy Spirit's going to do. And I'm going to listen to His voice. And I'm going to engage in everyday lifestyle like Paul and Barnabas did. And I'm going to walk amongst and I'm going to spend time with. And I don't know what's going to fully happen. But I know in the process that as a body, we're going to open doors for people that we've never seen before. Don't worry about who gets the claps right now on earth. Watch who gets the claps in heaven. Because I guarantee you it'll be different. Take your place in the body. Liberty Church, significant open doors are available to each of you now and in the future. Our now decisions will determine the doors that open for us. God's not a McDonald's, and He's not the loan company. I'll secure something new for you in the next 30 seconds. He's processed. Can He do a miracle in the moment? Of course He can. Of course He can. But most of the time, process. Process. Do you know what I need for process? I need you. People in process go together. Do you know what I need for process? I need prayer. Pray for me. Do you know what I need for process? A forgiving heart. Lord, I haven't done this well. You know what I need for process? Grace. His grace. You know where I need to see it? Through each other. It's okay. Come on, let's go again. This is not a defining moment. This is just a moment. Won't you stand with me if you can? Acts chapter 14. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared that all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, and there remained no little time with the disciples. Acts chapter 13. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Paul and Barnabas for the work for which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and sent them off. There's beauty in a sent people. But there's a process. And God generally works to his process. I want to pray for you before we land today. I want to say to you, each of you that are part of this house and every believer listening online, I don't care what bad doors you've opened. I don't care whether you've walked through them and gone so far you can't even see the door and you think, man, I shouldn't have done that. I want to say to you, God is a restorer and he's a healer and he's a renewer. And he can walk you out of that space and we can shut that door. But I also want to say to you, there's doors open to you that are bigger than you because they're going to make space for people that have never heard the gospel to walk through. And we get to start here. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for myself this morning. I pray for us. And I ask you and I thank you for the 7 years that have gone before. And I thank you for what lies ahead. We cannot determine, but we can commit ourselves to intimacy with you, Jesus. We can say yes to the process. And we can say yes to walking the relational journey with one another. So, Father, I ask you for endurance. I ask you for tenacity. I ask you, Father, for grace for one another. And I ask you, Father, that we can celebrate together who we are as a people. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,